The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect the views and opinions of this podcast's sponsors.
So I stumbled upon a new podcast that I love. It's called The Glitter Squirrels, and it's hosted by an award-nominated radio host and his best friend, who is also a former radio host. You can listen to all the hilarious episodes on Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, Stitcher. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find The Glitter Squirrels. Listen whenever you get the chance. I promise you won't regret it.
Just glitter squirrels doing our own thing. High in a tree where we can't come down is a thing that I don't like to say. Glitter squirrels. Glitter squirrels show. Every don't know about it, baby, don't you know?
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
You're listening to the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Glitter Squirrels Podcast. It is DJ Slim, John Hall is with me.
The artist formerly known as Crazy J.
Yes, we are at Smoke Time Sam's on Route 10 in Huntington. We are broadcasting live.
From the parking lot.
From the parking lot.
If you drive by, it's not a hold up. It's just some shady looking dudes hanging out. It's all good.
So, anyway, basically what we're doing is Shamra. Stover, she was the first one to buy some merch
right
out of our merch store. So because of that, I asked her where she wanted us to do the show, and she said she wanted us to go live from work here, which is Shamra works with me. She said she wanted us to go live from work here. Well, I talked to them here. They told me what the stipulations were. We have some rules we have to follow. That's kind of why we're doing it.
That's not a big deal. But the main thing is we're out front. And, right.
We're out front. We're doing the damn thing.
We got Brad Adkins here.
Brad Adkins, our musical guest, is getting his collective shit together.
Hey, I got a tambourine in the car.
As we speak.
I got my tambourine in the flight case.
Do you really?
I was hoping you brought it with you.
Yeah, it's always with me, actually.
Cool.
If you thought you were getting out of this without playing along with me.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I got a tambourine in that case in there. Dig that out. Heck yeah, get all, man. Like gospel on there.
That's what I just told him, man. We need to get him, like, I don't know what they call those little fucking stools that you sit on, the power acoustic.
That's what I figured he had.
Some sort of a cajon. You're going to hear a lot of traffic going on.
Yeah, you are going to hear a lot of traffic.
We're actually right in the middle of Route 10.
We've actually put John out in the middle of it. Route 10.
I'm bringing in people. I'm good for business, I guess. Yeah.
Now, if I tell you what, if I would have worn shorts, you guys, the traffic, there'd be...
They'd be stopping dead. It'd be like, hey, man, are those your legs, or are you riding a chicken?
Exactly right. John is right.
Mayonnaise legs.
I was gonna go with something more positive, John. Just like, I mean, all the money I would make him.
It could be like, I said, you can't be vegan if your legs don't shine. That kind of thing, right?
But yeah, I was just telling John, like, once, you know, we need to, like, figure out how much one of those costs and invest in one.
Why don't we just get a cajon and put a guitar pickup in it?
That's what it is.
Oh, I know. Someone get this man a 5-gallon bucket.
It's a cajon?
I know he's got sticks with it.
Oh, I got some of those. It's a hybrid cajon. It's actually a Cajun. It's a Cajun drum.
A Cajun.
I actually had a guy ask me that.
And everybody at home can't see this, but they actually have a tiny mic. New Orleans. There's a tiny mic right here.
Yes, there is a tiny mic.
Sometimes you just have to have a tiny mic.
It goes to my telephone.
That is a tiny mic.
That is funny, yes. Man. I'd like to do, like, just be live.
I bought a tiny mic like they have people on TikTok.
Put, like, pan in it where it looks huge. And then we draw back. You know, like a close shot, it'd be... But that's what we're doing here. Smokehouse, Smoke Time, whatever.
Smoke Time Sam's.
All your convenient needs.
Yeah, if you need beer, cigarettes,
beer,
or
jam, jelly, condoms, it's all here. Yeah, it's all here. So you can stop
by. Condoms are reasonably priced, too.
Are they? I don't know. That's funny.
It's not highway robbery like CBS.
Right, but it's all here. So if you're
it is highway, though. That's why you're
here. The beach floor off of Hughes Branch going in that way. Stop by and see us.
Yeah, it's right at the RV entrance of Beach Fork State Park.
Yeah, this used to be a gun range right here.
Yes. Now it is a softball training facility.
Hitting, slapping, pitching, catching, and fielding is all here. You can get some baseball jerseys.
But I think that's frowned upon in most places.
That's great.
Now, the girl that owns it, Haley Christopher, she was number 28. She played softball for Marshall.
Wow.
And a matter of fact, she comes in here all the time. And every time I see her, I'm always going, what are you doing, 28?
That's great. That's funny.
So,
a 28er.
But Yeah, she, Haley's really cool. She's a nice neighbor to have. She's super polite to everybody. So.
Sign language.
But
yeah, I was saying he's all grown up.
Oh, did you know when he's low or something?
No. This is my cousin.
Oh, I thought that was your.
I thought it was a singer for Anthrax. I don't know.
He thought you were Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustang. We got some lawnmowers here, some weed eaters. We got that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, Justin's doing his thing.
Doing his thing.
Yeah, I don't know if he's gonna make that turn or not.
He's close.
He's.
Wish you all could see this.
Yeah, I know. Normally we're video audio. Today you're just getting the audio program.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things to talk about.
Yes.
Let's start out the shit show called Rona. Here we are.
We are definitely 6 feet apart.
To find out it's just basically a big old bunch of poopy.
Right?
Yeah, some people died.
The masks are gone. Some probably, people died. Yeah. Millions.
Now they're telling the kids to stay away from that second dose until they figure out this heart situation with the youngins.
Yeah.
That's going crazy now, too.
I kind of figured that anything that the guy that actually made it.
Fawcett should go to prison. Yeah. He ruined people's lives. He ruined people's everything just because they scared the shit out of enough people to run around with a fucking cloth on their face.
Yep.
So,
nice semi.
Us conspiracy guys, we were shitheads when it came out of this. We did nothing but going, okay, we got a problem. We got a virus out there. You got a 97 point something survival rate going on, but let's freak out.
Yeah.
And here we
are. Freak out over a 99.6% survival rate.
Yeah, so we got that guy. Now we got him out of the air. But, just terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible what they did to the American people, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because I thought all along, what the hell? I'm 50 some years old. And I was scared to death of shit like Ebola. And you know, stuff where your body parts.
What happened to Ebola?
Anyway, the
one guy just died. Where did that guy?
It disappeared with that guy named Obama.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. Yeah. Right?
There's every 4 years, man. There's something that comes up.
Well, this is this one's something, man. This cost people homes, jobs, mom and pop's restaurants, things that aren't gonna be able to recover.
Right.
But I want to get that out of the way. So all you people that laughed at me about a year ago or Slim about this bullshit, here we are, kids.
Here we are.
Like it never happened. You can go to any store now, there's no 6 foot, nothing. It's just gone.
Nobody's
just gone.
And that's the thing, is like they can't even enforce a mask anymore.
No,
because of the whole, you know.
Yeah. But you know, here you are still running around seeing people walk into a place every once in a while you'll see some dude still wearing something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, I just can never understand.
It's like, hey, man, it's over. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Right.
I can never understand the them going into a restaurant to eat with the mask on and then sitting at the table and then taking the mask off.
I like when you walked in the door. Well, me and Slim said on a show, apparently this shit lives under bars and in doorways. Because you could walk into a restaurant and that was it. Just take that thing off. Yeah. But it was really important that you came into a restaurant when they were kind of lifting restrictions that just... We're in here now. Now you can take it off.
Yeah.
Now you and these can little plastic things they had, and this, that, and the other. I'm like, look, man. All you got to do is look up in the air. You're in a big open room, regardless of this little plastic shield. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Right.
But anyway, got that cleared up. And then on a good note, we got Brad Atkins who's going to play some songs for us.
And John is going to play with me.
Yeah, I might get out the old green tambourine.
And let me just say, it's pretty fucking awesome that it's kind of refreshing. Because, you know, maybe this is what we needed as Americans.
Probably, because the next time they come up with a crock of shit like this, people's going to go, I don't know, man. I was around thousands of people during this whole shit and thing. I actually did a few shows. Not many, but a few. And wherever I said, I was right up people. I was hitting a number. I was drinking after people.
Huh? You toured a lot.
I was on tour.
Was like right.
I came home right before shit had hit the fan. But I was in Deadwood. I was in crowded national airports. I was around thousands of people. And no, nothing here. Now, I did get sick a couple times.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. But, you know, I just lathered up with Vicks Vapor Rub and chilled out. You know, stuff like my granddad taught me. Don't be a candy ass. And, you know, I was fine. I might have had a dose of it here and there.
I did take it a little more seriously
just because at the very beginning, you know, my dad, I found when I got here, my dad was pretty sick. So
I think old people really took it serious
at the very beginning.
But the more time goes on, it's like,
I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, they scared the crap out of a bunch of old people. So, you know, like I said, you know, and you know, Cuomo, all of a sudden he's just out of the news. You don't hear about this guy anymore.
Right.
You know, he put all these people up, and of course we all know what happened up there. And then what, 10 or 11 chicks came forward. But some of these people, man, got a pass to ride, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, man. It's not my place to be political or anything like that.
What I mean by that, maybe this is what America needed, is think about how refreshing it is to go to Walmart or go to Kroger or something like that without a fucking mask on your face.
I know, because you know? Really, I don't, I was like, hey, man, you're going to get it or you ain't.
Yeah. That's, and that's
if you, yeah, if you get it, point.
Yeah, yeah. If you get it, point, chances are you're going to live.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell was going
it's
on?
It's just there? Like the flu.
Now, well, what is this new thing? Now, I know a couple people that have, it's the rhinovirus that's out now?
That sounds scary. Bird flu is nasty. SARS is nasty.
Rhinovirus now? Is that what we have?
But see, none of that really matters. It just come up with an ultimate shit show.
Right.
And it couldn't have came at a better time, obviously. But, right. I hope that the next run, like I said, old people and all that, and, you know, not being disrespectful.
Right.
But, on the other hand, it's just doing common math for you.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody that perished in between that time, they had underlying cancer, leukemia, you didn't hear any of them deaths.
Right.
Everybody that died last year was later as death.
COVID.
What in the hell was
yep.
that?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy could have been ate up with cancer and passed away, and I'm sure my brother knew some people, interesting enough, that were, you know.
I'll tell you exactly what the hell it was. Here's what happened. When COVID came out, the federal government said, okay, hospitals, to handle the influx of patients you're about to get, we're going to give you more money if you handle COVID patients.
Right. There was a lot of money involved.
Man. All the hospitals are like, all right, fuck it. Everybody's COVID.
I think every American ought to put a lawsuit on the government and just break their ass.
Yeah, they should.
They ought to get me for like, now I'm all paranoid. I can't think right. I'm scared to death to even leave my house. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that wasn't done by... You know, like I said, I do know people personally. We know some radio personalities mm-hmm. that have relatives passed. But like I said, any time you passed away last year, you were definitely a COVID victim. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a situation, like I said, when I got back off tour, shit would certainly hit the fan about 2 months later.
Yeah.
Something just went around the world in mm-hmm. 2 weeks. Now, I've mm-hmm. flown around the world. It's a pretty big place.
Right.
And how something like that showed up in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
just everywhere. But now they're uncovering all the Wuhan stuff.
Right.
It pretty much was man-made. It was pretty much a big old disaster.
Yeah.
So you guys enjoy that. You have mm-hmm. fun with that. And we're just going to do radio.
Exactly.
Have fun with that. How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Oh, we're good. We're out here doing a radio broadcast live from... Smoke
Time
Sam's.
That's it.
That's it. Smoke
Time
Sam's.
But yeah, man, it just...
It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon. It's over.
Yeah, 10 years from now, nobody will give a rat's ass.
It's going to be like Ebola.
Yeah, Ebola, yeah.
Everybody's going to go, hey, remember coronavirus?
Yeah, you want to scare me.
What happened with that?
Yeah, you want to scare me, man. Tell me like leprosy's coming back in or something. But hey, that'd be good for the Beatles, because they could be leprosy, all my skin is falling off of me. I'm half the man I used to be with leprosy. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, it'd just be bad.
The Queen one? Is this just a real sneeze, or is it just allergy?
Yeah. Is this just an allergy? Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, we could go on all day about it. But
we good.
But, you know, it's finally come to pass, like diarrhea.
Exactly.
Kidney stones, whatever.
You know, this might be, was I the one of the first guests on the show that, I remember on Four Pole, that we did something, and it might have been the very beginning.
That's where I heard Meet the Young Me.
Yep, that's
what exactly.
And that was like
where
right,
I heard
right
it.
When I wrote, kind of right after I wrote it too.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun out there.
Man, we had fun in the band room on Four Pole. Yeah. That's
Dakota's
for sure.
The Dakota's got it all tricked out now. Air conditioning, heating. Yeah. We struggle with heat. Wherever we go, we struggle with
that
heat.
That was the place to go, man.
We should talk to Dakota about
Dakota's
doing our podcast from
out.
Over there.
Hey, Dakota.
Yeah, he's turned it into a young man's man pad.
That's cool. That's good.
Side door entry, everything. He's got his license now. He's got a car. Amazing stuff.
Well, that's why I said Dakota. I said, wait, Dakota, you're all grown up on me, man.
He'll probably drive by.
That's my cousin, Cody. Like, this is Uncle Mark's son.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll probably come riding by either on his motorcycle or bicycle or car. Mm-hmm. He's into everything. He does about 24 miles a day.
Tell D we're out of here. Tell
hey,
him come
D, on. He's, it's Friday. He's got plans.
Mm-hmm. No.
He's 16 and he has a license and a car.
Tell
me where you were at. Tell me where you were at Friday night and just got your license and had a vehicle.
I was on
Route 60. Yeah. I can tell you exactly where I was on Route 60 getting pulled over by his dad.
Your dad's a cop.
His dad was a cop in Milton. I got popped doing 115 and a 55 on Route 60 in Milton.
Well, you way overdid Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
He come up to the car, he's like, license registration, god damn it.
Yeah, I got pulled over. When I first came back here, I was in Ritter Park, and there was a lady, and she was handling a bunch of these different bands at a talent agency. And Scott Sims, rest in peace, they provided cars for everybody to drive. They had a Corvette, Chevy Blazers, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I got done with my gig, and I ran up to Ragtime. It was Ragtime at the time. And I get in with Sims. Ain't seen him in a while. You know, we go running around. And you know you got a problem when you're going through Ritter Park, and about 70, going sideways through there, and you get pulled over. And the first thing, the cop walks up, rolls down the window, and he looks in and goes, Sims, is that you? I was like, Jesus Christ, this cop, who's this guy by the name, you know? I mean, we're probably in trouble here. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting when the cop, hey, Sims, is that you? So that's my Scott Sims story of the day.
Wow.
Only Scotty. Interesting stuff. When a police pull you over and know you by name.
Yeah.
We are live right now.
Live right now.
Oh, why are you running?
Live, yeah.
You say live, you don't want to run away.
They do. Nobody wants to be on camera anymore.
I'm telling you, man, they run like hell, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I work with some people at the restaurant, and I go take a picture, and they're like, no pictures.
Yeah, they're like, no pictures.
No, I'm like, okay.
It's like we've been in bars and have done our podcast in bars, and people are like, don't get me on that camera.
You're not like, on a camera.
Why?
But
they're like, don't get me on that camera, you know? And it's like, well, why? And they're like, well, I'm the youth pastor at my church.
Oh, well, then you shouldn't be in this whorehouse now, should you?
Well, you shouldn't have said that because you're live on the mic.
Yeah. Now you just incriminated yourself.
Right.
You could have easily walked on by and just gave a cool nod or a wave.
I will say that you picked the perfect spot of shade.
Yes. When I got here, this was perfect, dude. I was like,
what's this remind you of? This remind you old radio days?
Going on the old radio days,
and car lots and bowling alleys and restaurants. And
we're live from Moses Pontiac.
I did that gig every Saturday.
Oh, God, I hated that Chase Valley gig.
How many times did you get a couple hours sleep? I drove that van probably under the influence.
Uh-huh.
I woke up a couple times still feeling funky.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah.
There'd be times they'd be like, all right, Slim, we got a parade. You need to come get the dog van by 7:30. I'm like, do y'all know what the fuck I do outside of here?
Yeah, you know it's Sunday, right? Which means last night was Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty much self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody the other day. I was getting a bottle of Libations. And upon checkout, somehow we got talking about radio or whatever. She goes, do you know Rod Willis? Do I know Rod Willis?
Did we know Rod Willis?
He's responsible for me going on a live remote because he was late. And Crawl Dog's like, listen, you're going on. I'm like, 2 minutes. I was like, okay. And that's when the tsunami hit. They were doing like some kind of relief up in
that happened building. To me. That happened
to me.
Yeah,
he showed
one
up,
time.
And Rod always smelled like, you know,
bourbon,
party,
and,
yeah, bourbon and jet fuel and turtle water. Helicopter fuel.
The Crawl Dog, man.
Crawl Dog, yeah, let's talk about him.
Crawl Dog was like a second dad
Chuck
to
Black,
me, dude.
I mean, all the cool guys were
yeah,
gone. So we left at a great time because they're, you know.
Clint Black, actor, he actually judged a talent show that I was
mean
in.
Chuck Black.
Chuck
was great because he's always behind the local scene, man.
But yeah, he cool. really was. But he judged a talent show that I was in when I was like 15 at Cabin Midland. He was actually a big part of me getting started around here.
Really?
Since we got Brad here, we're going to talk a little bit about your time with Warner Chappell and Jason Aldean and some of those experiences.
Yes.
What was that like working with a guy that would go on to be a?
Well, at that time I didn't know, nobody really knew because so it was just we were just two kids that had deals to write songs, so you got to get, you know, stay up late and come into the office at, you know, whenever you got there at like 10:30, and you write a song every day, you know, and
right.
you go all right, man, let's go to lunch, and then all right, cool, yeah, let's go back and finish this, and then on Friday you go do tracking, do do your studio stuff, and that was it.
Go out
and
hit Broadway.
Gig.
Yeah.
It was an awesome time.
Broadway,
was,
when you could still park on the street.
Yeah.
Remember those awesome. Days? I'm,
and
not,
this
I'm
is,
that old.
This is what, I mean, there's tons of stories I could tell you all. I mean, there's like, but like.
Is Jason a good guy?
Jason, very, as he's just like he seems. He's
yeah,
a real laid back
cool.
dude. Real
yeah,
laid
well,
back.
He's had some time now to acclimate and kind of come
yeah,
down to planet Earth.
Yeah, but I don't see much of a change in him at all. I mean, now, like, I think, now, I haven't talked to him in a long, long time.
I remember you come over sometimes on the computer and check out your royalties. I think he actually used some of your lyrics or something.
Oh, well,
on one song.
We wrote a song called She Loved Me with Bobby Pinson.
Okay.
Bobby had that song, Don't Drink the Water in Mexico, Don't Ask Me How.
Oh,
but he had a ton of Sugar Land hits.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, he's had, I mean, he had lots of number ones.
Yeah.
Big time
songwriter.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
He's like Ken Williams.
But the cool thing would be, I mean, you would just never know who you were going to see coming through the office.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because we, for a while, we were across the street, and it was at the Warner Chapel building. That was the songwriter's building. Then we moved across the street to the actual record label.
Was that on Row?
It was on 16.
Oh, I got
so you would, you know, I would pull in, and so whoever the big artist they had signed at the time would be who was on the wall. So it was Faith Hill, man. You would see you. But
yeah, I got to work at Jerry Cupid's from time to time, and he was a Sony rep kind of guy, and he liked it. You know, but he had Ken Melons, and it was nothing to like. He had, I'm just an old jukebox junkie. As long as
I can,
that.
I mean, I passed.
And
I
here
know,
he comes
how
just
how
walking
people,
in. You know, it's like, hey, just hey, how
just
you, doing?
Can, you know, just going into just going to a writer's room, you never know who you pass. I mean, I passed. Let's see, like. Ronnie Millsack came down through there one
time. Did he see you?
He said hi. No, this is the thing. This is the thing is that I waved at him. He just acted like he didn't see me at all. I mean,
Ronnie.
I mean, Ronnie, God.
Yeah, Ronnie.
I mean, I don't know why.
But, I have a funny story about Ronnie Millsack. The guy that was, when I was working with Tanya Tucker, the guy driving the bus, who used to drive for Ronnie, and he was eating his breakfast, and the guy went and hit a light too quick, and Ronnie's food and stuff kind of went off the kitchen area of the tour bus. And he said, Ronnie said, hey, dude, do you want me to drive? I was kind of funny, man. You know?
But I remember,
sure, Ron,
now, one of the first things that my the guy that signed me told me, he's like, all right, you can't be a fan anymore. You're on these people's level. You have to act professional. That's the very first day.
You have an interesting story as well, because at one point before they got diverted into another story, where I think 60 Minutes was going to come here, when you were getting ready.
It was actually.
Because you were like this young kid coming out of the boonies here.
Yeah.
And you were going to, and you did go on to write and do all that. But,
I actually did.
You were going to be like a 60 Minutes
prodigy
child.
It was 2020.
I'm sorry.
It was ABC 2020. So what happened was I was supposed to go to the beach or something. I decided we send in a tape to the Bluebird, which is kind of unheard of. They usually don't take the tapes. You got to audition live. Somehow, I don't know how it got through, but they took the tape and invited us to play. And the night that I played, you know, me and a buddy, Matt Newcomb, had been writing songs for a little bit. And
you say Duke Newcomb?
Duke Newcomb.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome game.
He had balls of steel.
You guys talk for a minute, and I got to go pee.
And so that's what
Slim's got a whiz.
Slim, it's not, he's really got to poop,
don't
everybody.
Don't worry, man. He's
really fine. Pooping. That's what happens when you leave, you know?
Yeah.
I go to play, and it ends up being NSAI's 30th anniversary of all nights that I get to play the Bluebird.
Right.
You can't ask for the stars to align any better than that. So you
exactly.
got Bart Herbison, who is the executive director.
Right.
You got Waylon Holyfield, Pat Alger, who wrote
for
Garth Brooks, and Roger Cook, who wrote I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. And
wow, man.
Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. And
the Hollies.
Bart tells this story a whole lot better than I do, but pretty much after I got done playing the three songs, they came up to me and they were like, hey, how old are you? And I was like, I just turned 16.
I met you fairly young because you were going to do a pumpkin festival or something. But I remember your mom and dad came out to interview me. It seems like they sat down in the front room and asking me this, that, and the other. Because I was kind of a long haired.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And you were young. I was
16 when that 16 happened.
16 years old.
Yep. So that
and,
was the first.
And here we are crushing it. I've made it to 54 somehow.
Man, and I've made it. I'm gonna be the big 4-0 this year.
I can't. So, that's hard to believe, man.
Man, it's
isn't it crazy? We were kids yesterday.
Yeah, and
young adults, kids, same thing.
So, you know, after that, it's kind of I just came back here and started writing some more. And then when I graduated high school, same kind of deal. I did a Bluebird thing, and someone told that had actually been a part of the it's Kevin Robinson.
Right.
He's still a great friend today. And
that's great,
he was he used to work the front desk at Warner Chapel. So he tells this guy, he's like, hey, there's this kid that's coming to play the Bluebird, you should go check him out. And instead of going on my senior trip, I went and played the Bluebird.
See, and that's a true musician for you.
And
you can see Kiss or you can go to, yeah.
And I mean, I was literally, I think I was like 13th or 14th that night to play on the list.
That's what. And, yeah, because you got to be on that. They open up the phones at like 11, and they shut them down at 11:15. They take 10 people a day there or something like that?
That's
the only time you can call them. I remember what a pain in the ass it was just trying to get some of our things. And because that's one of the... Yeah, the infamous Bluebird. You know?
Yeah, and so...
Well, yeah, 15 minutes to get that call. People say, it's like calling a contest line on a radio station.
And the guy that signed me actually said, he goes, I was going to listen to one more person, and you came up, and he's like, oh, there's the guy I was supposed to listen to, and I got done playing, and we literally went down the street to his office, and he goes, do you want to deal writing songs? And I said, yes, let's do it.
I do.
And next thing you know, I'm in Nashville, 18 years old, writing at Warner Brothers, and
that had to be a great feeling.
It was awesome, man. And back to the part where he told me not to act like a fan.
Yeah.
So the very first time that Red Akins, so I played. John knows I played.
Did a show with him.
He's so sick of Red. He's so sick of Red Akins by the time he's through with me.
he
never
wanted
to hear that in my truck again.
I did a show with Rhett when they were coming out of the gate. We did a festival. When I was with Tanya, I met so many people because it was like Wee Fest and just things like that. But Rhett, that was like probably his freshman tour on that level. Just being around all kinds. Rhett was a good guy. All them guys were always nice.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I don't know, some people know this, some people don't, but I've actually stepped in. I'm helping Brad on social media and getting him out there and stuff like that. Follow Brad Akins Music on any kind of social media.
Instagram.
It's all there.
Instagram,
if
Twitter.
If you can't find him, you can always find Slim.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, everybody knows me and cell phones, and getting a hold of me sometimes is a real pain in the ass. But
John does not text back or call back very often.
I try.
He does days later, but I mean.
Yeah, it might be a day or two later, but the main thing is I will get back with you.
But the cool thing is that I was over at Brad's house, and I was talking to his mom. His mom was telling me she actually looked up Al Dean's net worth. He's worth $80 million right now.
Wow, pocket change.
$80
million. Gene Simmons is aware of this?
Wow.
I can remember being at his house and us eating, you know, just cooking dinner and eating chicken and lime and butter.
Does he live in like a mansion?
He probably does now.
No.
No, he lived down at Broadway's Rock and Roll Cafe.
He actually lived at, let's see, the very first place he lived was out in Bellevue. And then he actually moved out by me. I lived at the Landings out in Franklin. And then he moved out to Spring Hill. He had a house out there, and then it was probably... So here's what happened in 2004. They start really cutting corners, with songwriters and everybody. And both of us, I can remember us both going, what are we going to do, man? We ended up turning in our last songs. I spent a year working at the mall.
Spring Hill?
At the Franklin Mall.
Yeah, I know.
Franklin Mall,
right
at Cool Springs exit. And then he ended up, he was getting ready to go home. He was getting ready to go home. And I ended up running into Keith Stegall. And
that's a big one.
Yeah, and I started writing for Big Picture for a while, and he ended up getting a deal. Hicktown came out, and that's the one that ended up with She Loved Me on it.
I think that church guy has an interesting story, because he was literally living in his car and just pissed off, and he was getting ready to go back to North Carolina right before.
Eric Church, oh gosh, he's a beast, man.
And right before, he was just done. He went there and he ran the gamut like we all do. You go broke, you sell all your shit, you come back home going, what happened? Not so much me, because I'm a drum guy. I don't write songs, sing and dance, but... Yeah, his story was interesting in that fact, because he was literally just going, he was done, and he's going home. Yeah. And somehow that evening, something worked out for him, and next thing you know, he's out there with Miranda Lambert. And I have a funny story about him. I took my kids to Pikeville to see Miranda, and he was on the bill, and he's fairly new. The kids are all wanting to meet Miranda Lambert. So we go in this one room, and this is where the church guy's at. And he's, in the shades, his typical NFL jersey thing like that. And the poor guy, there's maybe, now this is before he got really big, There's maybe seven people in that room milling around, you know, and he's like hanging out in there. And I remember Grant going, I don't want to meet this guy. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I wasn't really familiar with him. And then, of course, that would all change.
Oh, yeah.
I hear he's a unique guy. I know some people with Ron. He's kind of a different dude. But, yeah, man, it's great to have stories like that. And the cool thing about you is it's never too late to jump in the mix and sell songs, write sing songs, whatever.
That's what I've been doing some this year. I've been talking to Michael Knox a lot, which is Jace's producer.
Right.
So it helps having those connections. I can kind of call those in. And I haven't used up all my favors yet, so.
You got to keep a couple of them in your back pocket.
I didn't burn every bridge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. But when I did, I burned it with Atomic Matter.
Yes, I did.
But see, you were in the business right about the time, too.
That new country was coming around.
Yeah, that new country was coming around.
It's kind
around,
of funny
so.
Because.
The bro country the, thing was.
Right.
My whole thing was that I wanted to dress like I do now. Just,
right.
And
it became a fashion
and
trend.
And now, that's. How I dress now is how it is.
Yeah,
it's
when I saw a Nirvana, man, in flannel shirts and boots, I was like, that's how we went to high school, you know? And now it's all trendy also. We went from, like, poser bands, like, you know, that whole scene in Nirvana and those bands from Seattle basically shut that whole clique down. And, like, what are we going to wear now? We got to burn our spandex, no more hairspray, eyeliner, it's all
but
over.
I still have the same I still have the same songwriting contacts. I still write with the same guys. I write
that's
with Ben
awesome.
And Red.
We're going to get you over to studio because he plays bass and stuff and start cutting just some live three-piece demos.
That's what we were talking about. We were talking about doing that very thing.
Whenever you get moved.
Be shortly, but until then, I still got the bunker in L.A., Lower Ashland.
There we go.
We do have the bunker down there, but...
We're going to let Brad get tuned up, man. He's going to play us a couple tunes. I might go find my tambourine, and I'm going to dig into a case. I actually have
that's
that
the cool
me.
Thing about John. It's like, it's just any new song I would have, I would come over, and I'd be like, jump on this, John. And just always just
right
on. But
it was funny, because some of the progressions you were using was kind of unheard to me at the time. So I was like, where in the hell is this going? And now that I've been in like, what, three generations of new country.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the stuff towards the tail end of Brooks and Dunn and all that. And then Billy Ray came in. That was a whole new crop of guys, Keith Urban and all that. And then here come Jason Aldean and them guys and the crop. So I've been playing new country for 30 years. So I've basically...
What's up, buddy?
How you
What's
doing,
up,
man?
How the hell are you selling?
Radio time.
We're doing podcasts.
Yeah, we're selling radio time.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys got the same hat.
Hey, you know you got a bunch of homos on that podcast, right?
Hey, come on, you're wearing a Pittsburgh Steeler cap.
These are Browns fans.
I'll say this, the Browns are better than the Bengals. I'll say that much.
Absolutely.
The Bengals can't even get through a full season without hurting their quarterback.
I might be a slim pick.
A slim pick?
Yeah.
Slim
somebody give Slim a card so he can go to get his pick maker. Oh, man, you know I love you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he's got, he does.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. John's bringing out the toys. Ah, oh, there you go. There you go. What?
Now,
look
at here.
Look at
John Hall's personal drum throne.
Hey.
Look at that.
I feel like a king now. Hey, man. Now, that is the perfect height if you're going to play.
Exactly.
What's up, dude? How you doing? Say hi to the radio. I tune because I care, people. Two. One in case I drop one. And we should be good, my friend.
the tambourine's buried in the anvil, man.
That's all right, man.
Yeah, it's
that's
under all right. It's the very bottom of all my heart.
We got Tom, John.
Happy birthday to Jim. Happy birthday to Jim. Happy birthday, dear Jenny. Happy birthday to you.
There you
Jenny's
go.
Jenny's got a scratch. Let's hope she wins.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bye.
Slim,
happy
what
birthday.
What are you doing?
He's making. He had a pick maker the other day. I was like, how do you have a pick maker?
He's one of my clients now.
I got picks in my stick bag.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I should have picks in my pick holder, but I don't. That's is. Look at it. He made me two picks out of some like a speedway car.
Bring that up over this way,
right,
little bit.
Right.
You'd be like a
chair. Yeah, there you go. All
right. So, anyway, as Slim's making guitar picks, we got Brad Adkins, and you can find him all over the internet. He's got a nice Martin.
All over social media.
And
Brad Adkins Music.
And you're listening to Pickin' with Brad.
Get in that ambulance case and get your tambourine.
Shit, no. Dude, you open it up, you'll go, never mind. You'll look at all that shit and go, never mind.
No.
Yep, it's down there.
I'm a resilient fucker.
Resilient.
All right, so, let's see. Let's play. Let's go
just
back.
Just do whatever you want. Just be
play
Brad.
A little of the... We can do the young me. Let's try. So this is something that I wrote with, just to get into a little bit of how, like, the songwriting thing would work.
Great
so,
show this evening.
So, Muy Bueno... was where Tony Ramey, which is another local
right,
guy, very talented guy.
Yes, he
is in Texas now, so I think he's making plenty of money just touring around there.
He is. He's actually on the Highway 23, one of the signs out that way now.
Yeah.
Tony and a whole bunch of the
so
Kentucky
me guys. And Tony would be writing, and this guy, I don't know if you guys have heard of him, Trent Tomlinson, would come and open up for him. He would be, you know, his office is just really across the alley. And he would come just busting through the back door and see what we're up to. You know, me and Tony usually,
nice
we never,
guy.
I don't think me and Tony ever wrote a bad song, but he always had perfect timing. So he would come in and we ended up writing this that day, and it's called The Young Me. So,
The Young Me, Brad Adkins right here on the Glitter Squirrels Podcast, live from the Badlands, West Virginia.
Young me, a boy thought he knew more than his daddy. Stole a truck and got sent up to juvie. Get his GED, you meet the young me. You meet the young me. I was 18 and green as my canteen. Dug in the sand with a letter in hand and an M16. U.S. Marine, you meet the young me. Now looking back, if I had it all back, I'd just stay young instead of growing up fast. Now that's the way life is and the way things are. You can't hide the truth if you can't hide the scars. Since I made it this far, you can meet the new me. Kids and a wife, but I'm one leg shy of walking. I'm a stronger man now than I ever thought I could be. Thanks God you can meet new me. Now looking back, if I had it all back, I just stayed young instead of growing up fast. That's the way life is and the way things are. You can't hide the truth if you can't hide the scars. And if I make it that far, and you meet the old me.
I'll be sitting on the porch with my boy's little boy, my good knee. I'll be telling him how not to turn out like the young me, till the good Lord meets the new me.
Right on, man. Nice one.
Thank you.
Podcast.
That's it, man.
That one turned out really good, man. That was a cool song to write with Trent and Trent Thomas and Tony Ramey. Yeah, Trent.
He actually had the NASCAR opening theme song for a good while.
Trent's got some. One of the great songs that I think that he doesn't get enough, that people don't know about, is the the one thing that scares me to death is meeting Jesus with whiskey on my breath.
It's pretty heavy.
Love and Theft, and that's a great song that people should check out. But that's one of my favorite songs.
I remember one thing you had.
Oh yeah, I got the Four Aces song. Yeah, I got that. Let's see.
I got a good memory, man.
You do have a good memory, man. I'm trying to.
That was like 15 years.
I'm trying to think. Let me think.
The song that I'm going to.
This is actually Slim Live being live. Yeah, I'm live.
I'm trying to think.
I'm live with my tiny mic.
Sometimes you need to. Let me see this. Hold. Yeah, look at this. Here we go. We have this is the microphone. That's a tiny microphone.
Hello. Check one, two.
That's great.
All right. Now, who did I actually write? Four Aces was Corey Mayo and Eric Gallimore.
I remember hearing a song.
Corey's dad was Danny Bear Mayo, and he wrote Keeper of the Stars.
That
Feed Jake. Wow. Corey's sister is Amy Mayo, who wrote Amazed. My best friend. I can't name them all.
I bet she bought a house with them royalties.
I've been to that house is amazing. It's Mel Tillis' old house.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's what house
when
she bought.
When you
walk
in and says, "Welcome to Mel Tillis' house,"
she's married to Chris Lindsay, who's another big time songwriter.
We cast his bus one time. That's what sat in the back of his bus. Four Aces, right here, live.
Game living in the fast lane, last bed of the night. Was a deed to the bar and the keys of my car.
Hey,
a lot of money on the line. Was a 79 Trans Am, Ram and Jewel Cam, black with a bird on the hood. Thought I was bluffing with a handful of nothing. I sure showed them good. And I had four
sad, something to make somebody
I got
cry.
Some. I do have some sad
we
songs.
We love a good sad country right, song. Let me do it.
Yes, we do love a good sad country song.
Yeah. Let's Brad see. Adkins, once again, here on GSP, Great Schools Podcast, and you can pick the show up when it's printed and released later.
Yep, the audio version
this
will be released.
This guy is going to take care of all of that.
All
this
right,
guy's going to sing.
I'm going to sing something
and
sad.
This guy's just going to be right here.
Yeah, we'll
all right.
Yeah, something you think, something you wrote that was...
Now, this is something that's very cool.
It's like being on Unplugged. MTV.
This... I'm gonna play a song that a girl that I recently
we're
taking a little space at the moment, but her son, we were sitting at the kitchen table, and I was playing some songs, and Carson goes, he never writes any songs for me, and I said, hold on, buddy, I got you, and literally got a brown paper bag that I take my lunch in, and I wrote the first verse and chorus down. And it turned into something really cool. And I got a hold of Ben Hayslip, who then got a hold of
another big guy, right?
Oh yeah, the Peach Pickers, man. They've got so many number ones. I can't even name them all. But he got a hold of Rhett, and this is what it turned into.
This is what happened right here. Yes. Musical History 101, the beautiful thing. There's ACTV.
Mister, sit on down. I know you like my mom, but we'll have to see if you're the man for the job. I'm only 6 years old, but you don't know all that we've been through. And I got a list of things that you'll have to do. Well, can you build a fort? Can you toss a line? Help me out when my shoes untie. Can you run those monsters off from under my bed? Can I hit you right on your back? When I cry, can you make me laugh again? Promise me you'll never break mama's heart. If you can handle that, when can you start? Can you keep your word? Can you make her smile? Can you bring her flowers every once in a while? Can you look her in the eyes and apologize if you ever make her sad? Just a few more things if you're gonna be my new dad. Can you show me how to ride a bike? Help me say my prayers at night. Be there for my birthday when it comes. And I tell Santa when I've been bad, when you leave, will you come back? Can you promise me you'll never break mama's heart? If you can handle that, when can you start? 'Cause I got an extra glove in my bed. So many things that we could do. We could build a fort, we could toss a line. Help me out when my shoes untie. Run those monsters off under my bed. Hit you right on your back. When I cry, can you make me laugh? Can you promise me you'll never break mama's heart? If you can handle that, Mister, if you can handle that, when can you start? I see that. I understand.
One jumped off Facebook for some reason and shut me down.
Yes, man. That one turned out very good. I couldn't have been more proud of that. Proud of a song that I've written.
That'd bring tears to a glass eyeball.
Yeah, I appreciate
tears it. Tears to a glass eyeball.
I don't think I've heard that. I'm gonna steal that one from you, John.
I got plenty. No, that's great.
Thank
now,
you,
once
man.
Again, you listen to Brad Adkins, and we did go live a couple times on Facebook. I was going good, and then all of a sudden, I got like holler vision out here, and my phone just zapped me back to my mainframe.
You need to connect to my Wi-Fi. I've got my Wi-Fi.
Oh, we're good. We got the show right here.
Yeah.
You can print it, throw some stuff in there, and it'd be bada boom, bada bing.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, that's good stuff, Brad. Right
Brad's
on,
got
man.
Brad's got more songs, but
there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
I've accumulated a lot of songs over the years. A lot of songs.
You never stop writing. Never take a break and walk away.
Now,
I know you had some hardships.
This is the part.
That shit.
This is the I feel like I am a country singer. That's for sure.
Well, you are.
It definitely turned.
You earned that right.
You know, everything up to 28 was pretty much a cakewalk. You know, and
right.
just as far as
it's funny when you get like 32,
it's like
start
man, it was
really
it's crazy
kind,
because
you start kind of questioning all kinds of stuff.
I've been very lucky in the sense of being able to keep the career going as a songwriter, being paid to do that.
Absolutely.
And I had a deal all the way up till I was, you know, till I was 28 years old, and my brother got sick.
I remember. And
it came quick, and when it happened, it took us all by surprise. It was something really simple. It was a perforated ulcer, and you know, he ended up sitting in the waiting room for like 9 hours. So by the time they got to him, they had time to literally open him up and see where it was, and they nicked a bowel. They never could get that infection to stop.
Wow.
So 7 surgeries, temperatures of 107, and you know, after 30 days, he couldn't fight anymore. So
yeah, that set you back a little bit.
That really took a toll, and I don't think I picked up a guitar. I might have picked up a guitar, you know, picked it up, but there was no point after
right.
that.
And you really never get over anything like that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that's, just
up until about 2 years ago, I finally, you know, I'll give. There's a girl, she knows who she is, that came along and she really helped me pick myself back up and got me back into at
well, you
least
look good,
one
man.
To,
you look good, you know.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yeah, keep it coming, man.
So when he goes on tour, he's going to need 2 buses, one for him and one for his ego.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing. He's acquired a manager since.
I have. I've got a manager
management
now.
Right here. GSP management.
And we'll take you on.
Right?
Yeah.
I figure between all of us, we've got some connections.
And
we might be able to do something.
The first thing I told, the first thing Sherry said when I told her, I was like, this guy's a rock star. He's going to make it.
She heard
was like,
Brad some time ago.
The first thing she said was, I have no doubt you guys are going to do great things. And I'm like, hold the fuck up. I'm like, hold on, you guys. I'm like, you do realize your husband will be coming with us as our drummer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, John's already got it.
Yeah,
John's
I've always kept one motto, and that's have stick bag, we'll travel.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been kind of funny.
Yeah.
But my buddy Kenny Carter, he found that really amusing for some reason at one point. But I was really getting tired of the scene here. And you know what I do when I get tired. I used to. I'm married. I used to just
hit the road.
Yeah, I used to just make that phone call and go, I'm going to run from responsibility and go join the circus again and play music. It was always, you know, and that works for a while, but then eventually you're just going to have to start facing things in your life.
I am balls to the wall busy for the next 3 weeks, dude.
Well, that's good.
So,
there's nothing wrong with balls to the wall.
No,
right?
And, you know,
we'd like to see that.
That's not frowned upon, man. We'll YouTube it for you.
July 2nd through the 5th, I'm going back to Lebanon, Tennessee.
Uh-oh.
So then I'm coming back on the 5th. July 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm going to Marysville, Tennessee to do some ring work for a wrestling match.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then July 17th, I have a wedding in Paris, Kentucky I have to go DJ. And then,
I don't have much. I got a couple shows with Dustin Burton coming up. I picked up some of that. But I haven't really been, you know, I've been working and taking, it's funny, I'm working when I'm not working. I'm lucky in that sense that if somebody needs a drummer and they don't have one in the area, they'll call me, you know. Call the old guy.
the real deal is that he is one of the best drummers.
Oh, yeah.
I've ever played with, and that's
I'm gonna need 2 buses.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I'm gonna build his ego up now. No, but truly one of the best drummers I've ever played with,
and I've
had plenty. You know, I've been around a lot of them. And,
oh, I know, man. You've
and
been
he's
around,
right up there
around
with
the big dogs.
He's right up there with the big dog.
Well,
plays
thank you,
just
man.
As good,
that's,
just as good.
That's one thing about John, man. He never like This motherfucker doesn't even need to show up to rehearsal.
No, he doesn't. No, he just comes. No, he doesn't.
I don't know, man. I don't think I'd waltz into Rush's set and go, "Hey, I'm here, man."
No, I mean, why not?
Gosh, you know, that's what happens.
Didn't they get a new drummer?
Not yet, but Mike Portney would be my choice. But I actually, that's probably a guy sitting out in these hollers who could burn that guy in his ass. Point being, I think, is even though it's been a big part of my life, fatherhood and everything like that, everything, you know, I've never stopped.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't have any plans on stopping now. You know, I'm cooking at the Roadhouse. It's humbling. And I go in there and realize why I did love traveling and playing music.
That's kind of why.
It's a few days a week I go in there and go, man, you know, it is what it is. And
well, hopefully if something takes off here, we won't be making pancakes for the man
over here. I don't make pancakes. Well, I make fried pickles and onions and country fried steak.
Here's exactly what it took. It took me actually.
But it is. It's humbling. It's,
6 or 7 years to actually get back into songwriting.
Yeah, you disappeared and took off down to Carolina or something.
A girl came and scooped me up and took me and swept me off my feet to the Carolinas, and I stayed for 4 years.
And there's nothing wrong. There's some songs in that.
And I ended up getting back into songwriting that way.
I'm glad. I was really happy when I was like, "What?" I mean, we spoke here and there, but you know.
But as far as picking up a guitar, when I lost my brother, man, it was like it was always that dream of, "Hey, we're gonna be on the bus together." Once he was gone, it was just like, "Well, this doesn't even matter anymore."
We've lost a couple of weeks. Like, we lost Greg Brown. We lost my dear friend Warren Smith over stupidity things, stuff they shouldn't have been messing with, and never could get it right. But it's traumatizing. I'm not comparing some of the guys to your brother, but Warren, on the other hand,
was a guy
20 years that I've known, and we spent 10 of them years traveling and playing music, either in Grooveville or being on the road, and we just had a great time. And
you just wake up, and
it takes a while to settle, they often say that, you know, family, you know, whatever that saying is, but your friends ultimately end up becoming your kind of family later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you lose somebody like in the mix like that, it's a tragedy. But it's a tragedy when you lose anybody in your life.
Yeah.
But those guys that you bonded with, and a 10-year run with one musician, man, it's a long time, man. It's heartbreaking news, man. Yeah. At that point, you just kind of realize, man, you know, it is what it is.
And Warren, man, was one of the best bass players.
I mean, he's up there with any of the badasses you could ever name. And he's still on YouTube. He's still out there. That stuff will live forever. But as far as his bass playing and a guy playing Chapman Stick and stuff, but God bless Warren where he's at today.
Hell yeah.
And that sucks. But
yeah.
But what a great show. Yes. Brad Adkins right here at
Smoke Time Sam's.
We've had a good evening with you.
We sure have.
Well, I guess we've probably been running our mouth for about an hour at least.
So basically what's brought me home is my dad got sick and I've been here this last year, and
that's great, man.
And I've had it's been
yeah,
a little
tough.
Yeah,
you can run from everything, but you'll find out, man. Yeah. Family is the one thing that you can pretty much always count on. You know, I've met some people that you bring up family and they're like, "I don't even talk about it." Whatever their experience was bad, but you know, I'm like most of us.
But
here. Look, I love my family.
But the thing is that I ran into Slim here, and it brought us back together. So I appreciate that, John.
It's absolutely
good to see you. I spoke to John a little bit while I was there.
Yeah, you're gonna come over and record.
And I appreciate you all having me on the show tonight.
We'll put the green screen up, and make something cool happen, and we'll sit down and some stuff. He's got a bass. Bring guitar, but I got a Fender Strat over there as well.
If
I wear a Speedo, is that frowned upon?
It depends if it's fur-lined or not.
Okay, all right, we're good.
But make sure you put the potato in the front, not the back.
Right.
you wonder why women
there's
are running.
There's a reason. Advice from a man like this. He knows his stuff.
Hey, right? I know, man. Hey, I've been up north where the nights are long and the nights are cold.
And, hey, listen, I was young and I needed the money, all right? That's all I'm going to say. Don't talk about it.
Hey, I wouldn't dare.
I was young and I needed the money, man.
Hey, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
$20
John
Hall,
Slim, and Brad Adkins, and the nephew, uncle. Well,
this is my cousin.
And cousin. Cousin Claude. You know, I had
cousin
an uncle.
Cody.
With,
cousin
an uncle with,
Cousin Dave Mustaine.
Well, I had an uncle with polio that spoke more than him.
Oh, and he hits one wrong one before we go, folks.
I got to throw something in to upset the, you know, oh, that was horrible.
You got to.
I don't know. When's the word dog shit going to become offensive? I know some people. I'm not going to mention no names, but things get rolling. You know, there's always, I got, like he said, you got to keep some in your back pocket for a rainy day.
I have kept those in my back pocket.
Yeah, we got, there's some people that can, you ain't got to go stand in line with everybody. Of course, that's you don't have to either.
That's
you,
the
you
good
go
thing. That's
go,
the
hey,
good
hey,
thing that comes with being in this for a while. Even if you do step away, I mean, you can kind of,
you know, once you get embedded in that fiber, it's not like the guy writing songs in his basement in Kansas has a shot at the title. He could. I mean,
he could.
Nowadays with social media and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, when you know people directly in that good old boys network down there, you know how it works.
Yeah, I know. And
you know exactly
how
it works.
You can make a couple phone calls.
So,
and you can get in the door that you need to a little
quicker. Exactly.
So.
Yeah, so that's always a nice thing. But I've had a great time out here.
Me too.
I'm actually off for a couple days. I'm going to go home and be a lazy ass.
Hey, man, sounds like a plan. I've done nothing but cut grass for the last 2 days and
I've done nothing
garden.
But smoke grass for 2 days. No,
that sounds awesome.
Sounds like a
lot
of fun.
Yeah, hey, we have a winner.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Glitter Squirrels podcast. You catch us in about a month.
Yeah, it's going live. But you can catch this show in probably a couple hours. He's going to put some bells and whistles on it and send it your way.
Yep, that's how we do things. You'll hear a lot of traffic in this. You'll hear a lot of booms and pounds.
But it's
because
cool.
We were
Harleys.
Picking up. Yeah, we were picking up. We were picking up drinks and setting them back down on the table. So you'll hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty. But it's a live broadcast. That's
it's
what it's. It's
exactly
a hootin'
it.
Man. It's like it's like the Anything Goes show.
Mm-hmm.
But
so,
you know.
But thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll catch you in a few weeks.